All the church say amen. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And because of the glory of God, we should lift every voice and sing. Because of the glory of God, the morning stars are singing together. And all the sons of God are shouting for joy, amen. And everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. Have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And we had a tremendous time in our VBS on last week. And it's just getting gooder and gooder every year, amen. You're going to hear more about that today. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Have that say amen. Let your speech be always with grace, season with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, season just right. Season just right. In the dynamic, exciting, and unparalleled ministry of Jesus, Jesus did many exciting and wonderful things. He was approved, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 20. He was approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus caused the blind to see. Yes, he made the crippled walk. He lifted up bowed down heads. He preached the gospel to the poor. He set at liberty them that were bruised, and he set the captives free. And one day in his ministry, he began to talk about some bread that came down from heaven. He said that I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if any man will eat this bread, he will never die. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And some were offended by that saying. And as a result, many of his disciples turned and walked with him no more. Jesus then turned to his remaining disciples and said unto them, will you also go away? Will you mindlessly follow the crowd? Jesus asked them, will you do what's right or will you do what's popular? Will you also go away? And Peter gave an answer for the ages. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. And those words are seasoned just right. Now, Peter had many struggles and many problems in his life, but one thing Peter was not going to do. He was not going to turn his back on the words of eternal life. Peter said, in essence, Lord, you have some words I need. Lord, you have some words that I just can't live without. Amen. Now, when I look at this text here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 6, I'll just look at verse 5 and 6 with you just briefly. Where Paul writes, and he gives some very important counsel about how we should conduct ourselves and how we should conduct our speech and how we should live in such a way toward people who are outside of the church, people who are not members of the Church of Christ. We ought to live in such a way that we make a favorable impression. So he says in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming, he says, the time. And really to redeem the time means to buy back opportunities. That is, every opportunity you have to promote and lift up the name of Jesus, you should do it. You should redeem the time. You should make a favorable impression on people who don't know salvation and know the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people in the city of Birmingham who don't know Jesus. They don't know that there's one church that you read about in the Bible. There's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Is that all right? So you live in such a way that you make a favorable impression upon those who are outside of the body of Christ. And then look at verse number 6. He says, let your speech be always seasoned with grace. And that means let the words that come out of your mouth always be pleasant. Let them always be sweet. Oh, I wish I had some help. Let them always be words of courtesy. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace and salt. And then he said, look at the latter part of that verse. He said, season. Now the word season means prepared with salt. Now salt has a way of making food palatable. Salt has a way of making food agree with our palates. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? Salt has a way of flavoring the food. So Jesus said through Paul that I want your speech to always be pleasant, characterized by sweetness and courtesy. And then the idea of being seasoned with salt, it carries the idea of let your speech be filled with wit. W-I-T, what does that mean? It means that your speech ought to be profitable. It ought to be intelligent. It ought to be reasonable. If you're going to say something, whenever a person talks to a Christian, it ought to be two things, a pleasant and a profitable experience. When you talk with a child of God, you ought to get some out of that. Why? Because a child of God's speech is to be seasoned just right. Now, you've heard the old saying a long time ago while we were on the school ground. Anybody can remember when you were on the school ground? Can you go back with me this morning on the school ground? Sometime on the school ground, that was the thing we called playing the dozens. Oh, I wish I had some help. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? And we would say, you learn in playing the dozen when they cracked on you, you learn to laugh at it. Because if they ever thought they got you, they're going to pour it on even more. Is that right? Well, on the playground, the speech was not always with grace. It was not seasoned with salt. We would even say on the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we knew that wasn't right, because the very words we were hearing were hurting. Yes, sometimes words can hurt. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes somebody says something to you and you say, you hurt my feeling. And all they did was spoke to you, because words have power. Words can make and words can break. Words can hurt and words can heal. That's why the Bible says, let your speech always be with grace. Seasoned with salt. Let your speech be seasoned just right. Amen. You ever had an experience in life when you were down and out? Somebody came to you and said just the right words you needed to hear. Is that all right? Maybe that was a time in your life you were having a bad hair day. Oh, I wish y'all would help me here. And somebody came along and told you your hair ain't fixed. You knew that. You didn't need to hear that, did you? Amen. Because the speech was not just appropriate for the time. So this morning I want to talk about two things in this message. Number one, I want to talk about the awesome power of words. And then I want to talk about finally waiting for the right words. Because some people have been almost a lifetime waiting for the right words. And we need the right words. Words have awesome power. The Word of God has a lot to say about words. And that's why it tells us in the scripture, be slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to anger or wrath. It also tells us that one day we must give an account of every idle word. It also tells us that the tongue is a fire. The tongue can set things on fire. The tongue can set it off if it will. Is that all right? And if you ain't careful, you'll get yourself in more trouble talking, saying things out of turn. And have you ever said something you wish you hadn't said? Is that all right? Well, I wish I hadn't said that. And that's why the Word of God says your speech got to be always seasoned, flavored, just right, so you can know how to answer every man. Now, there's awesome power in words. And if you had a choice between the words of the living God and the word of the devil, which words would you choose? Amen. There's a world of difference between the words of God and the words of the devil, because God's word is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. But not only is God's word a living word, it is a creative word. Psalms 33:6-9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake and it was. He commanded and it stood fast. It's power in God's words. And if you could just fill your mind with his word, you'll stop worrying so much. If you would fill your mind with his words, you wouldn't be so unhappy. If you would fill your mind with his words, you wouldn't be so frustrated. If you would fill your mind with his words, you wouldn't be so bewildered. Because there's power in his words. But also there's power in the devil's words. And you know, every time in scripture when the devil is speaking, the Bible lets us know we should never give place to the devil. Don't give the devil an opportunity, because if you let the devil ride, he will drive. Is that all right? You can't let him in your car because he will take the keys. He'll steal your car and put you in the trunk of your car. Because that's just how he is. And whenever you see the devil talking in scripture, he's always doing three things. Number one, he's putting people down. Hello? He never has nothing good to say about nobody. Number two, he is misleading people with words. Amen? And number three, he is destroying people with words. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, he came and told some deceitful words. He said that you won't surely die. Is that right? He was trying to mislead the Son of God in the wilderness with words. He'll try to mislead you with words. He'll try to mislead me with words. But he's always putting somebody down. He's always trying to mislead somebody. He's always trying to destroy people. And that's why the Bible says he is a liar. He's the daddy of lies. He's the father of lies. Is that right? So if I had a choice between the words of God and the words of the devil, I would always choose the words of God. Because God's words are always seasoned just right. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 is a great chapter in the New Testament. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2 is the birthday of the Church of Christ. And on this marvelous day, many wonderful things are happening. The Son of the living God had promised in Caesarea Philippi that upon this rock, upon this foundational truth that I am the Son of God, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came to town with the sound of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where the people were sitting. And watch this. And it sat upon them like cloven tongues of fire. And it said that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles utterance. The Holy Spirit gave them words. And those words were seasoned just right. Because in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit revealed the way that men could have their sins forgiven. Ain't that a blessing? To know how to get your sins forgiven, to know how to get rid of your sins, to know how to get rid of your personal baggage. Isn't that a blessing? And the Holy Spirit revealed through the apostles how men are added to the church of Christ. The Holy Spirit didn't tell people to join the church of their choice. It says that people obeyed the gospel and the Lord adds them to the church. Those words are seasoned just right. And so, the day of Pentecost, that was a great question raised. After they understood they had murdered God's Son, and they were cut to their hearts because of it, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And you know, if people want to know what to do to be saved today, 2011, July 17, 2011, you got to give them the words that season just right. And the words that season just right, Brother Hillary, roll over to Acts chapter 2. Let's start at verse number 36. And let's just see if these words aren't seasoned just right. Amen. Let's see what happened. Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
Therefore, let all the house of Israel,
know assuredly
that
God hath made
that
same Jesus
whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Made him both Lord and Christ. Come
now,
on.
Now
when they heard this,
they were pricked in their hearts.
You see, the words were seasoned just right. They were seasoned just right. You know when your food seasoned just right, don't you? You ever been to the restaurant and ordered some of that kiwi tea? Y'all all right? I went, Brother Earl, to old Charlie for Father's Day. I thought I'd try something new since my beautiful daughters were taking their dad out. So they wasn't sparing no expense. So I was getting the most expensive stuff on the menu. Praise God. I said, I'm going to have some of that kiwi tea today. I ain't never had none of that. But when I got it back, it wasn't seasoned. And I sent it back. Amen, because it wasn't seasoned just. I mean, if you're paying good money for your food, you want it to be right, don't you? If you tell them medium well, you don't want it medium rare, do you? Come on, talk to me this morning. It's got to be seasoned just right. Your words got to be seasoned just. If you're going to tell somebody what to be, do to be saved, your words got to be seasoned just right. Read it, Brother Hitter. What does it say?
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts.
They were pricked in their hearts.
And said unto Peter,
and to the rest of the apostles,
men and brethren,
what shall we do? That's a great question. What shall we do? That's still a great question. And the words that are seasoned just right, because the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Gave them the words to speak on that day. Read, Brother Hillary.
Then Peter said, Repent. And be baptized. Every one of you.
Every one of you.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Not some of y'all. All y'all. It's season. It's just right. Repent and do what?
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
In the name of
by
Jesus
the authority
Christ.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what?
For the remission of sins.
And you know, remission means that God blots out. He erases your sins. That's why you can go to heaven. Because all your sins are gone. And there's nothing between you and your Savior. Ain't that good news? Aren't those words seasoned just right? Amen. And you shall receive the remission of sin. What else, Brother Hillary?
For the remission of sin.
Remission of sin.
And ye shall receive.
And not only that, every child of God, every Christian will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Not only are you baptized, I'm throwing in a bonus. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Read.
For the promise,
and God doesn't lie. He doesn't play with words. God makes a promise. It's like money in the bank. Are y'all listening? That's why the Bible tells us don't trust in money, but trust in the living God. Is that all right? Let me tell you why the economy will never go under, because God made a promise. Is that all right? And he said, if you seek first the kingdom, what is he going to do? Does he lie? Does he play with words? Can he be wrong? I'm crazy enough to believe every word that comes out of God's mouth, because they are seasoned just right. Read, Brother Hillary.
For the promise is unto you.
Promise unto you.
And to your children.
And to your children.
And to all that are
afar. And here's the beauty of it. It's a generational promise. It's unto me. Well, first of all, my grandmama got it. She was called Mama Rachel. And Mama Rachel was saying so loud in church. You be coming out, or you hear Mama Rachel saying, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Y'all remember that? What a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting. You know that I'm leaning. You know that I'm leaning. Yes, I'm safe and secure from all. You know that I'm lean. You know that I'm lean. Yes, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. But not only was that promise to Mama Rachel, that promise was to my mother. And that promise is to me. And that promise is to my children. And that promise is to my grandchildren. And that promise is to my great-grandchildren. And that promise is to my great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Is that all right? Because the promise, and that promise is seasoned just right. Read it, Brother Harry. Let's finish that.
And to all that are afar off.
And to all. It's some folks in that's not in the building today that the promise is directed to them. They're coming. They're going to be members of the Church of Christ before it's over. Because the promise and its season just right. Read, Brother Hillary.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Read.
And with many other words.
And with many other words. And these words were seasoned just right. With many other words. What did he do?
Saying. Save yourselves.
See, with many other words. You see, somebody in the church needs some encouragement. Because all of us need motivation. We all got motivational issues. Is that right? Are you motivated the same way every day? We all got motivational issues. Is that right? I need something to keep me going, don't you? And so he said, with many other words, he encouraged the people to do what?
Save yourself.
Save yourself. That's season right. Want to tell everybody here today, save yourself. Work out your own salvation. That's season just right, ain't it? You can make it. Everything going to be all right. Ain't that season just right? You are richer than you think. Isn't that season just right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Save yourselves.
Save yourselves.
From this untoward generation.
Because a lot of people are going the wrong way, but you save yourself. That season just right. Read.
Then they that gladly received
and
his word. Were baptized.
And when you gladly receive the word, you don't argue about being baptized. When you gladly receive the word, because you know the words, it's seasoned just right. I was somewhere eating with somebody, I forgot, and they say, the last time I was here, this food wasn't too good, but today I want to give my compliments to the chef. You know why they said that? Because it was seasoned. Just right. That right? Like one lady told a guy, she said, well, he was talking about the fact, talking about the food, and she said to him, well, you can't even cook. And he said, yeah, and I know when you can't cook. Praise God. Because it's got to be seasoned just right. Let me tell you this, and I'll be finished. Second, final idea. Waiting for the right words. A lot of people have been waiting for the right word. And I'm sure during the course of a week, you hear a lot of words, don't you? And a lot of those words don't really do much for you. Is that right? The Bible talks about in Proverbs 15:1 that grievous words stir up anger. Anybody ever said some words to you and got you angry? Can you relate to that? And that meant those words weren't. Let me flip it. Have you ever said any words to anybody and got them angry? Hello? You ever said in the words anybody and they roll their eyes at you? Threw a brick at you? Because those words got to be. When somebody talk to you, you want them to talk to you right, don't you? Man, you came at me wrong. You can't come at me like that. You got to talk to me like you got some sense. You got to send them words back and season them. They ain't quite ready yet. All right? Grievous word. Well, let's think about some word that's not seasoned right. Angry words. You know, it's better, brothers and sisters, if I'm angry to not even speak. Hello? Because usually I'm going to say something I may regret if I'm angry. And somebody said, keep your word soft and sweet. Because you do not know which of them you may have to eat. Is that all right? So you got to make sure those words are A lot of people have lost their jobs because the words weren't seasoned right. A lot of people have lost marriages. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Because the husband didn't know how to talk to his wife. And the wife didn't know how to talk to her husband. Amen. Some people have lost their children because they didn't know how to talk to them. The words weren't seasoned just right. People have lost careers. Amen. We've seen people on TV. And they've said words and lost the job. Is that right? It happens all the time. And that's why the Bible says that grievous word, they ain't seasoned right. Stir up anger, but a soft answer. Because you know it's a tendency, if somebody yells at you, you want to yell back. And the only way you don't yell back, you control your response. Is that right? Unkind words are not seasoned just right. And I think we know when we're saying something to hurt somebody. Is that all right? And unkind words are words that always inflict damage. And then careless words are not seasoned just right. You just speak before you think about what you're saying. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And these words are not seasoned. And that's why the word of God says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer every man. And then malicious words are not seasoned just right. Malicious word, when I'm speaking maliciously, I'm speaking with the intent to harm or hurt somebody. Let's go to 3 John. Let's do this quickly. 3 John 9. And there was a man in the church by the name of Diotrephes. Anybody know about him? Let's see what the Bible says about this man named Diotrephes, because his words, even though he was in the body of Christ, the Lord hadn't took control of his mouth. You see, when you get saved, the Lord got to take control of your mouth. Your mouth got to come under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that right? 3 John 9 says what?
I wrote unto the church. But Diotrephes. Who loveth to have the preeminence.
First of all, Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. Diotrephes was on an ego trip. Hello? He loved to have the preeminence. He should have learned a lesson on servant leadership. Read, Brother Hillary.
Receiveth us not.
He would not receive the apostles of Christ.
Wherefore? If I come, I will remember his deeds.
I'm gonna deal with Diotrephes when I come, John says. Come on.
He prating against us. With malicious words.
With what kind of words?
Malicious words.
What kind of words?
Malicious words.
What kind of words?
Malicious.
He was prating against us with what kind of words?
Malicious words.
Anybody ever talk to you on your job, got you upset? Anybody ever talk to you in traffic, got you upset? Come on, y'all. Anybody ever shot you the bird? Hello, lights. Got you upset? Well, maybe I should ask, have you shot anybody the bird? I need to ask you that. Praise God. I know y'all ain't shot nobody the bird because y'all Christian. Come on, Holy Spirit. Is that all right? Amen. Read, Brother Hillary.
And not content therewith. Neither doth he himself
receive the brethren.
And forbiddeth them that will.
And this man was so out of character, he was trying to throw folks out the church. The church belongs to the Lord. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
And casteth them out of the church.
And casteth them out of the church. He was using words that were not seasoned with salt. His words were not always with grace. You are a Christian. You represent Jesus Christ. And so you got to be careful what you say. Now let me give you some words that are seasoned just right, and this lesson is going to be yours. When the words are seasoned just right. Number one, I want to give you this. The words, I love you. That's seasoned just right, ain't it? Because all of us want to be loved, and all of us need to be loved. And when somebody says to you, I love you, that builds your self-esteem, that builds your self-worth. Is that right? So when someone says, parents, how often do you tell your children you love them? How often you fuss at them? I need to go look out the window. Let me see. How often you tell your husband, how often you tell your wife? Wife? How often you tell your husband you love him? So later one day came to the preacher and she was complaining about her husband. She was talking about he ain't no good and I ain't satisfied with him. He just this, that, and the other. And the preacher said, well, ma'am, have you prayed for him? She said, well, I hadn't thought about that. Don't you think you ought to pray for your husband? Don't you think you ought to pray for your wife? And I'm talking about me too. Because I'm going to have a meeting when this sermon over. I'm going to be called in the office. Amen. But you got to tell some, and how many Christians, how many of us tell fellow Christians, you know, I love you? You see, that season just right. Here's another one. Y'all ain't giving me much on this, so I better rush on through this. Here's the next one. I appreciate you. I said, well, two ladies were talking. She said, well, I just don't want no piece of man. She said, a piece of man in bed, no man. Y'all can go ahead and laugh at that if you want. That was a joke. But you got to appreciate what you have. Is that right? All of us need appreciation. And doesn't it just make you feel better about yourself when you know that other people appreciate you? Doesn't that help you? Amen. Somebody tell you, you're doing a great job. Somebody say, you're doing a great job. Somebody say, I appreciate what you do. Doesn't that make a difference? Isn't that season just right? Because when somebody tells you that, it makes you just want to do a little better. I appreciate you. This church at Bush Hill can become a greater church if we just get our speech seasoned just right. We can just tell each other, I love you. We can just tell each other, I appreciate you. Is that all right? Here's another one. I understand you. Everybody wants to be understood. Nobody wants to be misunderstood. And you know, I found out in life, do you know that listening is a skill? Listening is a skill. Sometimes you got to hush to hear what somebody else is saying. And sometimes you got to have the spirit that even though I may not agree, I want to understand where you're coming from. One of the habits of the seven habits of highly effective people by Dr. Stephen Covey is that you seek to understand, then to be understood. Solomon said, of all you're getting, get understanding. And a lot of time we have a lot of confusion because we just don't understand each other. And the reason we don't understand is because we don't take the time to listen to the other person's point of view. But these words can be seasoned just right when you say, I understand, because nobody wants to be misunderstood. Here's the last one, or the last two. And that is, I'm with you and I'm going to help you. Hello? Let me tell you something. The reality, we're living in an age of betrayal, disloyalty, where people are stabbing other people in the back. Hello? Smiling faces sometimes. They don't tell the truth. There are some people who will throw a rock and hide the hand. But it's so good to hear somebody say, somebody who will have your back when you ain't there. Somebody who will stand up for you when you ain't there. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Need somebody in the kingdom of God to say to Jesus, Lord, I'm with you. And Lord, I'm going to help spread your gospel. Because, Lord, if I do that, I know that it's season. I want to let y'all know this morning, I appreciate being your minister. I love this church. I ain't always been perfect, but I'm working on it. Can you say amen to that? I'm working on it. I have to tell my children, I appreciate you. Can I always just tell them the wrong they do. Tell them about the good thing they're doing. Is that all right? Like, man, one day, wife decided she was going to be industrious, going to fix him some dinner. She in the kitchen just cooking, working, sat down to eat. He said, baby, want to let you know this food is good, but it ain't good as mama's. Now, you know what happened behind that, don't you? Do I have to explain the rest? You can't do that, can you? You got to let her dinner stand on his own. Huh? She'll say, well, I ain't your mama. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? You got to appreciate what she's done. Lord, and that's why the word of God, words are powerful, church. And that's why the word of God says, let your speech. Lord, have mercy. Because your words affect people. They affect people. Amen. And you don't know how much you help people when you encourage them. You don't know how much you hurt people when you say a thing to tear them down. Because words have power. That's why the greatest words you could hear is, what must I do to be saved? And that's hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Believe it with all of your heart. John 3:16. Repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. Amen. Confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10. And be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Those words are seasoned just right. Is that right? And that's why all of the New Testament writers This is a book of words, ain't it? And that's why Peter told, Lord, where can we go? You got the words of eternal life. Didn't he say that? And that's why John, that great writer, says at the beginning of his gospel, Brother Wyatt, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Didn't he say that? Then he said, the same was with God in the beginning. Then he said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then it dropped down to verse number 14, Brother West. And it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and he was full of truth. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, every step he took was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took in his ministry was a step of grace. The words he took, or the steps he took from the sands of Egypt to the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. Lord have mercy, Brother Wyatt. It was a step of grace. Is that all right? The step he took down from the Jordan River to the lake of the Galilee Sea was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took from the temple in Jerusalem to the agonies of Pilate's court, Lord have mercy, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took along the road to Bethlehem, to the house of trouble, to the bed of the sick, to the grave of the dead, hallelujah, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took up the dark slope of Calvary, where they hung him high and they stretched him wide, hallelujah, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took when he got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist was a step of grace. Is that all right? And when he stepped on the cloud and went on back to glory, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? Why? Because he was full of grace and truth. Is that all right? And because he's full, he can order my steps in his word. Because he's full, he can let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength, and you are my redeemer. Is that all right? Because he was full of grace, he can take control of my mouth. Is that all right? Because he's full of grace, he can let my speech always be with grace. Is that all right? Because he's full of grace, he can let my speech be seasoned with salt so I can know how to answer. Every man, I tell you, the Lord is good. I don't think y'all, I said the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures under all generations. Is that all right? And because of it, you ought to let him have control of your lips. Let him have control of your tongue. And when you do, your speech will always be seasoned just right. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message this morning. Season just right. And one of the most powerful things I can say is I really love the Lord. Can you say that this morning? Isn't that a good word to hear that the Lord say, and the Lord say, I love you. How did that make you feel when you know the Lord loves you? Does that make you feel good? I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know. Wanna thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. I love him.